microphone because I know she ate all that banana pudding or nanner pudding.
She didn't even go.
And tater salad.
She's sick. She didn't go.
She didn't go.
She's sick.
Well, I'm.
What are you doing?
I'm not supposed to.
Why didn't you bring us some of that?
And they got tater salad and nanner pudding. You're not supposed to do that. Hallelujah. But we'll pray for her. Tell her we're praying for, honestly. I didn't know she was ill. We don't make light of that at all. I've been sick. And when I get sick, I'm very serious. I'm not in the mood for no joking around. Amen. When I'm sick, I'm sick. And I get sick of being sick real quick. Amen. Sick of being sick real quick. Pastor Buster Ryan. Amen. You never know when it's going to happen. It just happens. Can you say amen? Would you stand with us tonight? I can't help being happy because the Lord's been good to me today. And he's given me special grace. I had challenges this morning early. And I had challenges when I got home today. And the challenges just keep on coming. And it seems it's never going to let up. But the sermons that I minister here from the Word of God, I live through those places with this congregation. I just want you to know that God's grace is sufficient. And it doesn't mean it's not tough, but it does mean that God is faithful. And I'm so proud of the Lord for being so faithful to me, so faithful to this ministry. And we're getting ready to move very quickly to a time of prayer, but we want to worship at least a couple of songs tonight before we come together in prayer. How long are we going to have these services that specifically focus on revival around the world to stir us to pray for revival here in America as we pray for nations of the world? Well, until the Bible puts it this way, it says that we need to seek the Lord until he comes down and rains righteousness on us. And it's just coming right off the scripture that God has given us as the real foundational scripture for everything we do on Sunday night. And it's Isaiah 64, and it begins with verse 1, and it says, O Lord, that thou would rend the heavens and come down and touch the mountains, cause them to melt down into the waters and cause the waters to boil. Not praying for a judgment. This is not praying for some cataclysmic judgment, apocalyptic judgment on the world. This is praying for God to manifest his presence and his power. Everybody say his presence and his power. Oh, that thou would rend the heavens and come down. And it's amazing the language of these mighty revivals. They talk about God coming down in answer to prayer. God coming down and always in answer to prayer for revival. Verse 7 says why he wasn't coming down. Amen. It says because no one stirs themselves up to lay hold on thee. Can you say, man, no one seems to care that God isn't showing up at the meetings as long as we get the building fund. They don't seem to care if God don't show up as long as we get the head count. Doesn't seem to matter if God don't show up as long as we achieve the goals that we have for our church to achieve. And until that changes, God isn't coming down. But it has changed here. Praise God. It has changed here. If we had 1,000 people, I would be praying for God to come down. Amen. Because I've ministered in places that had. I ministered in a church that had 1,000 people. But there was no evidence of the presence of the Lord. They had a building that you just, oh, if I had a building like that, I'd just be overwhelmed every time I walked out on the platform. I'd just stop and gaze around at how beautiful the facility was. They built a several million dollar building with over 1,000 people. I got to minister in that kind of condition. Amen. Got to perform a wedding in that kind of situation. But boy, I wouldn't trade what happened this morning in my soul to stand in that building with all of those people if God doesn't come down, if God doesn't manifest his presence and his power, then it's an empty thing. It's an empty thing. And I'm so hungry, amen, to see the Lord move personally in my personal life and in this church and around the world. And I'm seeing by gathering information that these are the days of Elijah. Amen. We're living in those days of a mighty outpouring of the Spirit. But it comes when people care enough about the condition to say, you know, the building fund is not enough. The church is not enough. The number count is not enough. We need God to come down. We need him to save and heal and deliver and set free and to distinguish his name above among the gods who are no gods and the gods who man has made. Amen. And that's what we're praying for tonight. That's why we're here tonight. Amen. Let's give him praise. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus to give you honor and to give you praise. We come to offer praises unto you from willing hearts and thankful hearts and grateful hearts. Even as these people have been singing today, preparing to celebrate the resurrection, Lord, the highest and holiest time of all Christianity, for without it, the cross would mean nothing. Without it, the coming of Jesus in that manger would not have accomplished anything. Man would be hopelessly lost in spite of all he did if that sacrifice wasn't accepted. And the resurrection is your seal of acceptance on what he did at the cross. And it's our assurance that we're going to live forever with him, age without end. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the special effort people that are in this building tonight. And Holy Spirit, we know you're here right now. And we know that you're brooding over not only us tonight in this church and this congregation and our families, but we see you globally brooding, wanting to move and manifest the power of God that was being prayed for way back in Isaiah all of those years ago. Help us tonight as we come to the place and the point of prayer to be stirred enough to lay hold on you before this service ends tonight, that we might continue to do that until we see what they're seeing. We experience what they're experiencing, because our God is no respecter of persons. Hallelujah. So, Father, encourage us tonight as we stir ourselves to lay hold on you in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen tonight. And that's where his eyes are focused tonight. I'm convinced of that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus, pour the blood over me, and they're pleading the blood, and what a bloody gospel this is. And there's even people in religious quarters that are highly, highly trained theologically, but they don't want to exalt the blood of Jesus anymore, and they've actually went on record, and I have their quotes. What a sad day when people in high levels of religious influence are saying, we don't want that bloody gospel. People, we're too modern and we're too contemporary for a bloody gospel. And yet without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That means in that church, without the presentation and the preaching of the cross where the blood was shed, there's no one saved. No one can't be saved without that. We can't take the blood of Jesus from where it is. Let me tell you one more thing, and we'll sing this song. There are those that believe the blood of Jesus simply wasn't enough. They said if just dying on the cross and shedding blood was enough, one preacher said, I could have done it. Well, see, there's a difference in our blood and his blood. We've all sinned. Our blood is tainted. Can you say, man, spiritually? It's not tainted in terms of the red and white corpuscle. It's sin has tainted us. But he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. You know why he didn't have to be born again? Because he never sinned. And when it said he became sin, didn't mean he sinned. It means God counted him as a sinner and judged him for our sin. Jesus, believe me, wasn't dying for his sin on that cross. Amen. And when he said it is finished, he meant it. Because there's something running from Genesis to Revelation. Bible scholars call it simply the scarlet thread. The scarlet thread. Adam discovers that he's naked. His conscience now is quickened. Sin has made him aware that he has transgressed against God. And he's ashamed of his nakedness before God. And he runs and hides himself from God. And God comes looking for Adam. And he says, Adam, what is this that thou hast done? And you think God is just coming to point the finger at him. If you look in some of the big family reference Bibles and you open it up, and God is driving Adam and Eve from the garden. This angry caricature of God is driving them from the garden. But did you know what God brought with him when he came looking for Adam? The skin of an animal. The first blood that was shed was when an animal was killed and skinned to cover the shame and the guilt and the nakedness of that man. God brought with him a symbol of redemptive love. Oh, God didn't just bring an accusing finger. God brought a symbol of redemptive love. He brought him a covering. Can you say amen? So that he could cover himself and come out from behind that bush and ask for God's forgiveness and get it. Can you say amen? What a good God. And it began something that ran. Rahab in Jesus' family tree. Running all the way back in his lineage. There's a harlot by the name of Rahab. Isn't that incredible? And there's a scarlet thread because she believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they said, if you'll put out a scarlet thread, your house will be spared because of that. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Isn't that incredible? That's so incredible. Why a scarlet thread? Why not any kind of a flag? I mean, why not tie yellow ribbon around the old oak tree? Because yellow isn't a symbol of blood. It had to be a red thread, a red rope, a red sash hanging from that window. Because all through the Bible, the blood is what God is looking for. When I see the blood, take the blood of a lamb without blemish, splash it up on the top of the door facing, on both sides of the doorpost. They did it with hyssop, and as they splashed the blood all over, it dripped on the threshold. There's no way to keep it from doing that. They didn't have a paintbrush from Lowe's to paint it on with. Blood was splashed on the doorpost, splashed on both of the lintel, and it dripped on the threshold. And when the death angel came to Egypt, God said, when I see the blood, no judgment's going to touch that house or the people inside of that blood-soaked threshold. When I see the blood, hallelujah, every sacrifice that was offered was slain and its blood was sprinkled. Can you say, man, glory to God. Until the last sacrifice came, till Jesus came. The last lamb. Everybody say the last lamb. I know this is not just moving too quick toward revival, but we're singing a song here tonight. I believe to have revival, I believe it has to start in us, not just us praying for people out there to be moved. I believe something in here has to be moved, and nothing moves me like the cross of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. Can you say amen? What a gracious God we serve tonight. Praise the Lord. Let's give him praise because he's worthy before we move into the rest of this service. From the day of his crucifixion till this day, saith the Spirit, there have been enemies of the cross. But I say unto you, cling to the cross, cleave to the Lord. For the hour is late, the time is short, and my coming is soon. And yea, those that are washed in the blood of the Lamb will be counted worthy. Yea, they shall be made worthy to walk through the gates into the holy city and to eat of the tree of life and live forever, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Yeah,
Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's why he's worthy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We'll never get over it. We'll never get over it, especially when we get home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you know we just joined with the elders? Amen. Around the throne tonight. That's what they're singing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you for singing from your heart. We're going to move into this revival prayer service in just a few moments. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, great problems have arisen. And oh, it's religion tester. Did you hit your shin on that, sweet Sherry? Under her breath, I thought I heard her say, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Or was that Phoenix, Arizona? Sometimes I say Phoenix, Arizona. Amen. I've learned all the capitals by hitting my shins. Can you say amen? Well, that's just better than the other stuff. It's not swearing. Can you say amen? Phoenix, Arizona. Amen. Well, I guess our yay should be yay and our nay should be nay, and we should. Actually, that means say what you mean and mean what you say is what that's really talking about. But we shouldn't say the bad words. Amen.
Amen.
Shouldn't give anybody the bad finger. How many? Don't show me. Don't show me. How many people know which one is the bad finger? Amen. Yeah. Don't ever do that. Don't give anybody the bad finger. Praise Him. I don't know where that started, but it's everybody knows what it is. Praise God. Amen. Last time we were here, we skipped a Sunday night because I had that Sunday off, but we looked at, and how many were here for the Fiji Islands series that we had begun? Now, this is going to be cut off rather abruptly when we get to the end of it, but I still want to pick up some prayer principles and see what's happening in the Fiji Island Archipelago. This group of islands I told you briefly some things you're going to hear in here about. These people were not civilized people as we know the civilized world. This was one of the toughest places for missionaries to go to because these people were seriously into the work of the devil, and it was bad. Tribes hated each other, and they were vengeful and sought revenge, and it never ended. This vicious circle of revenge never stopped, and the demonic influences in those islands was so strong because of witchcraft, literally, and other things that were entertained, spirits that were invited. Evil spirits that were actually invited to give them the edge over their adversary, to give them power. And the only thing that could transform that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even after the transformation and bringing them forward into the 20th and now the 21st century, that rivalry, that spirit of rivalry and jealousy bled over into their politics. It bled over into their, they elected a leader, and the opposing people got together, some of the radicals, and they actually held them hostage and beat them up and threatened to kill them. So they had that unrest in the year 2000. Recently, that has happened in Fiji Islands. But so it shocked them into the reality that politically and the denominationally, people need to get together and pray that God would have mercy on them and God would begin to deliver them. Amen. And when that began to happen, it is an incredible move of God. It came through a protracted prayer. It came through a unifying of people for the purpose of seeing revival. There's something about unity that God honors so wonderfully when ministers can get together and forget the tangent things and get focused on what's really important to God and work together to achieve it. And so we're going to have a taste of what is taking place and continuing to take place. At the end, when this abruptly ends, there will be a drug dealer giving his testimony. And he says, and I was sick, and it'll go off, and I'll finish it for him. So it won't be so abrupt to you, because there's another phase to this. It's up there to available in phases. And he was sick in his body continually. When he came to Christ and got delivered and set free, God also healed him. A byproduct of just getting set free from sin was that he was healed. And it's been a sign, and it's brought many people to Jesus Christ, seeing people delivered, set free, and healed as God moves by His Spirit in revival. Praise God. Healing doesn't bring the revival. It brings people to Jesus Christ when they know that Jesus is who He said He was, and revival just follows that. Praise God. So if you'll turn those lights off, we will see if we can get a glimpse of what God is doing in the Fiji Island Archipelago.
With a new man at the helm, the government started taking on a new face.
And we have a lot of people in cabinet, I am just so pleased to see, who are born-again Christians.
It's just the finger of God, and it's what the Lord is doing.
Taito Wonga Vakatonga was a local pastor. Now he is the president of the Senate.
This is the power of prayer. I was nominated where I am now
It's just because of prayer, just because of him.
Apa Salome Tundreo, another humble man of God, was tapped to head up the newly created Ministry of Reconciliation.
But that's our challenge. We have to get our leaders, the professional leaders, the religious leaders, the political leaders, to see that one vision.
Ondi Ozanatha Thauthau was the last candidate to win a seat in the 2001 elections. But God and the nation were waiting for her. Now an active member of the Prime Minister's cabinet, Thauthau's extended portfolio includes responsibility for women, poverty alleviation, and social welfare.
I'm just ripe to pass on the word of God. And I have no hesitation at all in sharing the word of God with just anybody, and even in trying to get them to receive salvation. And I do that in the house. In all my speeches, I would start off by praising the Lord God, by giving glory to Jehovah.
With a united church and a government teeming with godly servants, Fiji has begun to recover its spiritual heritage.
A lot of people never wanted to go to church, but I begin to see them. They want to. They ask me, when is the revival?
A revival torch commissioned by President Ilo Ilo at the Albert Park rally has been slowly making its way through the Fijian archipelago. Many towns and villages have greeted it with great emotion.
When they carry the torch around, the chief, you know, they were crying.
Everybody was so emotional about it, and they were saying, it is like, you know, the light coming to our soul. It's like the gospel coming to our soul for the first time.
We see that the fire of God was able to be spread, you know, throughout the nation.
The whole of the Fiji group will be given back to the Lord. That's what I want to see.
Has not always stirred hope within the Fijian soul. In an earlier but not so distant age, its flickering light illumined fearful rituals and unspeakable horror. The land groaned under the weight of superstition and sorcery. Ancestral spirits roamed freely, promising abundance and demanding their due. By the side of the temple, great heaps of human bones lay whitening in the sun. Priests convulsed and spoke in strange voices. It was a world where chiefs held absolute power. The lives of commoners hung on their prevailing mood or appetite. Women were given as tribute or taken as a prize of war. Tribal fighting was gruesome and frequent. Fueled by revenge and greed, violent warriors depopulated entire villages, even islands. Fallen enemies were carried off the battlefield on poles, long pigs, to be cooked and eaten. Worse still, these cannibalistic instincts were sometimes directed at the living. In an act of appalling cruelty, Fijian chiefs occasionally ordered doomed victims to cut firewood to roast their own bodies. According to reports from early Methodist missionaries, the royal capital of Bao stank for days as human flesh was cooked in every hut. Even when the days of cannibalism had passed, the power of the fire remained. On the island of Benga, the Suwao clan lived under the sway of Menahuni-like spirits, known as Veli. At the edge of Rakua village, clan priests filled the Lovo pits with hot stones and began to walk on them.
This is one of the villages that perform witchcraft to the great level, to the highest degree.
witchcraft was really strong in the village.
That's where the big lobo was.
Penny Sorowali, high priest of the Sowal clan, began treading fire at the age of 15.
As I began to walk on the hot stones, I never felt any heat at all.
The Veli were summoned to observe each performance.
Before this ceremony, normally go up to the mountain where these people live, the demons.
We took a basket and filled it with two kinds of leaves.
So they will bring the demons down to the village.
The basket is placed carefully under the priest's bed.
And sometimes in the night they can hear the chanting of these demons.
While Rukua's fire walkers had been granted protection from searing stones, these powers came at a cost.
There was a curse upon this village.
A lot of the people, you know, they were dying, and they don't know what's the cause of it.
Most of them, they died outside of their home, and that brought fear into their hearts.
Silasa Rongongo was a big-time drug dealer.
I used to plant marijuana. He was in the very depth of it. Police people couldn't even track him down. I just plant in big amount, and I keep it, hide it in the bush. And he told me the place where he used to dig and put the dried leaves in a bottle, waiting for those people from overseas to come by yacht.
After the cyclone season, the illicit cargo ships arrived from every direction, including Asia, Oceania, and North America. In 1999, one of Rongongo's friends, a notorious drinker named George Ponapati, developed a serious medical condition.
My leg, my left hand leg, I went up to Suva and see the private doctor.
After examining Ponapati, the doctor scheduled an operation for the following week.
He had that fear of death coming to him.
But death would have to wait. 2 days before Ponapati's scheduled surgery, a concerned acquaintance made arrangements for him to visit a thriving Suva area church.
And he came to the prayer ministry where he was prayed over.
Divine power surged through his diseased body.
When I went to hospital, nothing wrong with my leg.
He brought the testimony to this village how the Lord has healed him. As soon as he came back from town, he told me straight away about what happened to his knee.
I'm a church man now. No more drink.
The impact of this work of grace was immediate.
And a lot of people responded and gave their hearts to the Lord.
What happened here, like a household salvation, came upon them.
So that confirmed me to make the whole family change. So that when we change, I can know the way to cast out the demons anytime. So the demons never come again.
Penny Sorowali also felt the enchantment lifting.
When I received Jesus as Savior, everything changed. I began to realize that for all these years, I had been lied to by the devil.
This revelation led the Suwao clan to sever their long-standing pact with the Veli.
All the priests have stopped the fire walking. We have all been born again by the power of the Holy Spirit.
We've seen the power, the impact of the gospel in this village.
Or 90% of the people in this village, they go to church.
They just love to hear the teaching of the word of the Lord.
No more ground, no more smoke, no more marijuana, no more stealing.
Even Rukua's infamous drug dealer has been swept up in the transforming tide.
Now I come to realize that we should be faithful to the words of God, to follow the words of God. For me to see him, being that man before, to me it's really great. To live with God every day, it's amazing.
Encouraged by these developments, but not content, village elders have maintained a vigil before the Lord.
So we have been praying every day, 4 o'clock in the morning.
We have been praying for the Lord to move in.
And by all appearances, God has been obliging.
I used to be a sick man.
Yeah, that's where you stop. You can give the Lord a clap over the praise. This is powerful stuff. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. And we just will prepare ourselves for prayer by having a little bit of worship with us. Some of the